maybe those they don't really know. So tonight we're going to have some special guests from Chico Housing Action Team, a group that does tremendous work in our community, and during the cold season opens up a shelter, a temporary shelter called Safe Space. We're going to be learning more about all the other amazing projects that this group of volunteers have going on. So stay tuned. It will be a full hour of compassion growing experience. If you have something you want to share with us, go ahead and give us a call, 895-1114. And folks that are homeless or are currently homeless are going to be sharing stories on there tonight. So stay tuned for that. We'll be right back with you in just a moment.
The things that bring the drama. But see, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism, but we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA, the Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. If you don't have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate. And to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're bound to get irate. Yeah, madness, but you demonstrate. And that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love just to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all, y'all.
What you preach, and won't you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 us, and some guidance from above. People got me questioning, where is the love?
Where is the love? Where is the love?
Where is the love?
It just ain't the same. Boys who change, new days are strange. Is the world insane? If love and peace is so strong, why are the pieces of love that don't belong? Nations dropping bombs, chemical gases filling lungs of little ones with ongoing suffering as the youth are young, so ask yourself.
Love in the 21st Century is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by White Glove Chimney Service. Creating a warm, secure, healthy home, White Glove Chimney Service is a nationally certified company for inspecting, cleaning, installing, or repairing your wood, gas, or pellet burning appliances and commercial or residential air ducts. Serving all of Butte, Glen, and Hama counties, White Glove Chimney Service may be reached by calling 924-3164. All right, you tuned into Love in the 21st Century, and we are speaking tonight with the Chico Housing Action Team. Thank you, folks, for joining me.
Thanks.
Yeah. Good evening.
Absolutely. So would one of you mind explaining what the Chico Housing Action Team is, and then we can kind of get into who each one of you are and how you play a part?
Well, the Chico Housing Action Team started actually 2 years ago this November. A group of us were at the center talking about housing. We decided to put together a movie. We traveled north and put together a movie about tiny house villages and how successful they are. One in Portland has actually been there for 13 years, very successful. And we thought that would be really neat to have that happen here in Chico. But shortly thereafter, there was a substantial cold spell, and we opened up the Peace Center and started as a safe space shelter for people who were out in the streets who were freezing in that cold spell. And out of that came Safe Space. Our original idea was to build houses and move people out of homelessness, but we realized that that's a long-term goal and takes some time, and in the meantime, we're in wintertime. So we started a Safe Space shelter. This is the third year. We can talk more about that, what's happening there, what the conditions are, how many days, all of that will be part, hopefully part of the conversation this evening. But that's what CHAD is an organization that really wants to make it in our community. As far as the homeless people, we know that success rates are the sooner you get someone out of homelessness, the more we in reality, the sooner that they can reintegrate into society, and that's what we're really looking for, is people to be able to reintegrate into society. There's so many reasons for homelessness, from sexual abuse, child abuse, loss of jobs, breaking up marriages, mental illness. We decided none of those mattered. So not our consideration is helping people reintegrate into society. And doing that through building tiny homes. So far, we haven't built any tiny homes, actually one little one, but we have moved people out of homelessness. We have two structures, two buildings right now. We've moved people in. We're looking for more. We're looking for funding to do some more. We're looking at changes of variances and codes in the city to be able to get property to build. So we're moving forward, but it's a slow process and changing hearts and minds, as we've seen with so many issues out there, whether it be gay rights, lesbian rights, whatever it is. It takes time for people to realize that doing something about it is much better than pushing people for being who they are.
Absolutely. Anybody else have anything to add in terms of what they feel chat is, chat and safe space?
excuse me. I am in, have been very involved in the planning of Safe Space. My name is Robin Tripp, and I'm also the founder of Chico Homeless Animal Outreach. And I originally got involved with Safe Space because I wanted to be sure that the animals were being taken in along with people. A lot of people aren't aware that animals are not welcome at any of the shelters in town, and so many people do choose to stay on the street with their dogs rather than give them up to go to a shelter. And I was really happy to hear from some of the people on the street that the Chico Peace and Justice Center 2 years ago had opened up its doors during that cold spell. And when I heard about the Safe Space organizing for the next year, I wanted to get involved to make sure that animals were included. And I've gotten very involved in Safe Space and have become one of the organizers of it. And I feel very strongly about it. And I'm happy to be here today to talk about it. Thank you.
Great.
And as we know, just quickly to add to that, is we found many people on the street treat their animals incredibly good, and we helped them to do that. But it's also their family. They're being disenfranchised from society, and that animal is a family. We can't take that animal away from them or apart them from their from that family member who is so important to them for many reasons: safety, friendship, all of those things. So we thought it was really important to make them part of what we're doing.
Right. So what something you brought up, Robin, I think that maybe some people might be aware of but not be aware of, is that there are two shelters in Go currently.
Well, there's more than two. And they're kind of growing. I mean, there are more all the time. But the two that people are most familiar with, the Torah Shelter and G Center, animals are not allowed at either one. So many of the people that I work with, in fact, I spent all day today with a homeless woman and her dog at the vet. Many of the people that I work with, we foster the animals so that they can go into the shelters, so that they don't have to give them up, as well as helping people that are on the street and not in the shelters with food and vet care. We have a monthly vet clinic that we hold at the Jesus Center for people living on the street with their animals so that they can get vet care and vaccinations and spay-neuter vouchers and anything to help them keep their pets healthy. And like Bob said, you know, these are the family members. Just like they are for the rest of us. How many of us would want to give our animals up, you know? And in many cases, they're the only source of positive regard that people on the street receive in a given day. You know, I'm out there every day, and I see the way the people are treated, and it's very upsetting to me, and it's another reason that I'm very involved in Safe Space.
Great, thank you so much. Anybody else want to chime in on how they're involved with Safe Space?
Hi, good evening. My name's Allie. I was involved with Food Not Bums last few years, and I remember, as Bob was saying, they just kind of started meeting, and I stumbled upon a meeting one day and just kind of got involved, and they started the Chico Peace and Justice Center doing the overnight monitoring shifts, and that, and now I'll be involved again this year. I wasn't involved last year, but I'll be involved again this year doing weekend monitor shifts and doing some intake. I'm really excited about it.
And maybe Robin could speak to what's going on this year, at the number of days and how we're working that out.
Yeah, this is very timely because the Safe Space Winter Shelter opens this Sunday and it's going to run until the end of February. And what we provide is exactly what it says, a safe space for people to sleep every night. We feed them meals. We feed them dinner and also snacks. We do intake at one location, and then we transport people to one of the, I believe it's 9 churches that have opened their doors to us, most for 1 week, some for 2 weeks at a time. And we've been planning for this year's Safe Space ever since last March when the last one ended. And we've done a lot of organizational sort of planning, and we really think we've sort of got it down this year. We're really looking forward to opening up and providing people a safe place to sleep. And we are what's called a low barrier shelter, which means that we don't drug test anybody. We don't prevent people from coming in if they're if they've been drinking. All we ask is that they respect themselves and others, and they do no harm to anyone. And as long as they can be peaceful and stay with us for the night, they're welcome. And we do allow their animals. Some of the churches have reasons why they don't want animals in the church, so we have tents outside for those churches, and then other churches do allow the animals in. Some of the planning that we've been doing, we are coming down to the wire. Like I said, it starts on Sunday, and our supply organizer has told me that what we most need at this point is coffee. Because we give people coffee when they come in. We give them coffee in the morning. Some of them drink coffee all night long. It warms them up, for one thing. We need coffee. We need light snacks like energy bars and, you know, those kinds of individually wrapped little things. And also, she said that we could use vouchers for grocery stores to buy perishables, you know, things like bread and also peanut butter. We give people bread and peanut butter all night long. But we do arrange one hot meal when they come in, and those are organized by different organizations and different churches. Some of the churches do the meals when we're there, and then other churches bring meals in at different times. So really, anything that pertains to our putting this thing together is something we can use, especially money. Especially money, because this is an all-volunteer organization. It's an all-volunteer effort, people putting their time, their energy, and in many cases their money into making this happen. We don't get funding from an outside source, and it is a registered nonprofit, so that that might make a difference to people in terms of donation. And you can go on the website, the Chico Housing Action Team website, and there is also a Safe Space Winter Shelter website, and you can donate through them as well.
How are you guys doing on volunteers for the actual shelter?
So far, I think we're doing pretty well. Mm-hmm. We've had two volunteer orientations. We've had more than 100 people show up for the two of them. And there's a lot of enthusiasm. I mean, and at the first orientation, you know, we really emphasized how heartwarming this whole thing is. Normally when I heartwarming, I've usually got my tongue in my cheek. But honestly, this has been a real life-changing experience for me. And it really is worthwhile. And I just feel very strongly about trying to help people that don't seem to have anywhere to turn. And, you know, the powers that be seem to just want them to go away, which is ridiculous, and it's not going to happen.
On the topic of compassion, on the last volunteer meeting I went to for a chat, the amount of compassion when the core team members got up there and spoke, Deanna and Cynthia and I don't remember.
This is Love of the 21st Century, and I have no idea what just happened. But maybe there was supposed to be a report of some kind. Hopefully everybody's safe out there in the world.
So, yes, when I was at the meeting, the amount of compassion when the core team members got up and spoke was just absolutely amazing. When they were talking about the benefits of volunteering and people got up and spoke, it just touched me, because I've done a lot of volunteer work in my life. But to hear what other people, the benefits they got just makes me more passionate to get up and do this and get other people involved. And it was just really amazing. And I'm really excited to be a part of this. And I'm just really grateful that chat is here for people that need it. Cause I know there are a lot of people out there that don't want to go to Torres or Sabbath or for whatever reason, they don't have a place to go, and that chat is here. And there's compassion there, and there's no judgment and all that. I just found it really, really heartwarming and touching when I was at the meeting, and I'm just really more passionate about it this year. I'm really excited.
There are some things needed. I think it's harder to fill a shift. We have shifts, and we have a minimum of 3 people per shift, plus people come in the morning to clean, people driving. So actually, there's more than 3 shifts if you look at it that way. But it's really difficult to fill the 1 a.m. to 7 a.m. shift. So if anyone is interested in that, they should get a hold of us and be willing to do that. People who like to be up at night, some don't like it, but we do it. So if people would be willing to do that. And also, as Robin said, money. You know, we have to have insurance. We have to transport food. There's so many things that we do as a nonprofit that just comes from people being able to donate money or food. It's really, really important. One of the things we could certainly use is a large vehicle like a 16-passenger van, because we have to transport every night from the intake facility to whatever church it happens to be at, and then we have to transport in the morning. And if you're talking about 50 people, 60 people at the top end, it takes a lot of people to do that every evening. So it'd be really wonderful to have a form of transportation that can take more than a few people. At this point, it looks like we might be renting something, which is going to cost us a lot of money initially. So it'd be really great to have somebody out there who has a vehicle that they no longer need that is serviceable, or one that could be used by us. That would be really great.
So we haven't heard much from the 3 of you over there. Would you mind introducing yourself and how you all find yourself involved with Chico Housing Action Team?
I am Janae.
Also Janae.
I am Janae.
I found myself getting involved. I went to a fundraiser at Bob Truss's house, and I found it. There really is a lot of people compassion, and they have a heart for people that are going through their homelessness. It's right after they had opened up their first house. It was just amazing to watch the people, and people get excited and people get involved. And I didn't know that this program even existed until a few months ago. So since then, I've been around Bob and came on the radio and talked about my own homelessness. So it's been pretty exciting,
You want to share some of that?
I lived on the streets here in Chico for 2.5 years, and I lived in the bush. It wasn't always the funnest thing in the world, and I didn't have that much self-esteem, that much, I mean, anything. When you live on the streets and you're cold at night, you're wet, you can't get dry for days, it just can be very downtrodding on your life, more so than being homeless already is. And today I'm living at the Sabbath House and home shelter, so they have helped me. The women in there have helped me. I'm getting to know myself again. I've got myself clean. So life has changed. Life has changed a lot. So I'm just glad that there is a place for people to get off the streets and get home at night.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What about your experience with people? I know that Rob mentioned that your experience just with the general public of people, like their response towards you when you were living on the streets, and you're feeling now that you're involved with an organization of people that are doing work.
When I was on the streets, it wasn't that much fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, you don't, even if you go get a shower someplace, you're never clean.
Mm-hmm.
You aren't clean, and people do look at you differently.
Mm-hmm.
I know we went down and got, Salvation Army does snack packs, and one day we went down there, and there was a group of us girls, and they're like, well, they can't have them, they're not homeless, you know. And it's because we were in the shelter. If we were living on the streets, and you walk and your hands are dirty, and your shoes are dirty because you can tell you've been living on the streets, you know, you look a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look that different, people treat you. They do treat you differently.
What about safe for a woman?
That's not the first thing in the world. Safety for a woman out on the streets. It's not very nice, and you know it can be that way for men as well. I have some real hard personal experiences of things that happened on the streets. I don't care to public radio them. But today my life is better, and I can live through it. And I'm very happy to be here. Thanks for having me here.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming to share your experience. And I think it's really important that people hear and know from, you know, from someone's voice, like this is a real person who has experienced these things and is coming out the other end. So more power to you for doing the work, because it's a long road, as Bob was saying. The quicker it happens getting off the streets, the higher the success rate. But that's also, you know, it's true when you're talking about the longer you've been on the streets, that it takes a little bit longer time to get reintegrated. So good job for you for, you know, sticking in with it, because I know it's work.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Got a couple more gentlemen over here. I'm going to go ahead and introduce yourself. And
yeah, my name is Jared Dietz. The only way I'm affiliated with ChatB, just because I'm friends with Danae and Ali and Bob here.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the radio with them maybe a month ago,
mm-hmm,
to share some experiences. But I've been homeless off and on for probably 10 years. At the moment, I'm in a sober living house through my church, which is a blessing. Before that, I stayed at the tour shelter for a few weeks, which was also a blessing. But just hearing all this information about what CHIT is about and what the Safe Space is about, it's really, you can really hear the heart. There's heart in people around here, and it's good to hear. Because it sucks. Like Janae said, it sucks to be out there in the cold. And there was one night, I remember standing in a tent in the creek, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and half my tent was full of water. So, and I figured it would just die down, so I went back to sleep, and I woke up and the whole tent was floating away.
Oh, wow.
So it's not very fun in the winter to be outside. And the fact that these people running these safe spaces don't follow the same guidelines as the shelter or any other shelter in town, where they just want people to be safe, mm-hmm. and warm and have a safe place to be, that's really heartwarming.
Absolutely. Thank you for being here, sharing your story with us.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm a little nervous. This is the first time for me. My name is Rafael Sanchez. This is actually all brand new to me because I was raised in Hamilton City. So when I came here in about a year ago, when I was first homeless, I didn't know about all these resources. So I was very, very angry out there and just kind of mad at myself. I've never really went through any of this, and I was doing it by myself. People or friends or family still don't know that I went through this. And I mean, it's hard, but I wish I would have known about some of these programs and stuff. I mean, I went into Christbridge, which helped me get to where I'm at now, and the people that are here are part of the people that got me there. For me, I am actually terrified of people. Just in the world that I've been in, it's just the way. I've been homeless one other time was in Mexico. We don't have none of these resources that you're talking about here at all. So for me, I thought it was the same thing to come into this. It was, I didn't fit in nowheres. I didn't know nobody. My background, my history, my record wouldn't let me into places that are safety for other people. And I just wouldn't go because I'm just kind of terrified to get back into society. Like, it's one of the things that I want. I got three little girls, and it's something that I want to show them. Good, you know? And it's kind of hard to get there.
Can you, I know it's hard, and I really appreciate it. Can you share a little bit what led you to homelessness, if you're willing to do that, to let people know there's so many different reasons out there, and you sound like you have a really unique story. Great to be able to share it.
Well, for me, I mean, it was always hard because I was a battle between myself and drugs. And it's been 15 years of drugs. I started when I was really young. And throughout my whole life, through everything that I've been through with kids, separated, my kids being with their grandma and stuff, drugs were in my life through the whole thing. That's all I've ever known. So to me, a lot of this is brand new. And trying to learn it and trying to change what I knew, only what I knew. This is different with Jeremy, Janae, and Ali. They're the first people that hugged me through some of this stuff. I've never got something like that from anybody. So it was scary at first. And I mean, they made me feel like a normal person. And to me, that, I mean, it feels good. I believe again in God. I don't know.
That's good. Thank you. Thanks for risking that sharing. That's really great.
Yeah, thank you all for sharing those. You know, those hard truths to share sometimes. And that's really the stuff that moves people to realize that these are, you are just like people that they know and people that they are seeing, experiencing in their daily lives. And that really you're not that far from that reality. That people forget that sharing your story is such a big part of the work that CHAT does and getting community members out there to come out, either support with their time or support with their money if they're able to.
Right, and that sense of alienation is what we're finding, really. That alienation on the street, for whatever the reasons, is like these guys are reintegrating, they're bringing you back into realizing that people can care, can help each other, can support you, can be there for you when you're in need. And that's really, really wonderful. That is what we should all be about in reality, is being there for each other. Because, you know, as you say, for the grace of God, there go I. You know, I think that's the reality. I was on just about a year and a half ago, about a year ago, actually, they did a TV show on CHAT. They did a little filming, and it was on TV. And the next day, I went into Home Depot to buy some material for a job I was doing. And two people in there came up to me and said, "We saw that last night on TV." And they said, "If we lose our part-timers, if we lose this, we'll lose everything. We'll be on the street just like those people we saw on TV." And that's the reality. There's so many people in this country that don't realize they're only a step away from what you guys experienced. And that's why we have to help each other.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and listening to these three young people really brings to mind something that I feel very passionate about, and that's the public discussion that takes place here in Chico about those homeless people. Mm. Usually, you know, a pronouncement made by somebody who's probably never even had a conversation with a homeless person, and there's this notion that they're transient. Well, this young man grew up in Hamilton City. The woman that I spent the day with at that today grew up in Ridley. A lot of people, locals, young and old. We had at Safe Space last year, we had an older couple that had raised five children and now found themselves living in their car. And Safe Space was a godsend for them. There are veterans. There are many, many mentally ill people who have nowhere else to go and have difficulty fitting into the more traditional shelters and so forth. And, you know, so this notion that these people are all transients moving through town, taking advantage of us, is ridiculous. And I hope that through programs like this, we can educate people and let them know who the homeless really are in our community. They are members of our community and deserving of our assistance.
So if you're just tuning in, this is Love in the 21st Century, and I am Tamara. This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. We are talking with the Chico Housing Action Team about Safe Space, a shelter that they are opening up very soon, Sunday evening, the 29th, and are still looking for volunteers, still looking for funding to keep their doors open because it is an all-volunteer effort. Stay tuned to hear more about Safe Space and what they have going on in the community.
Whenever a president gets a bipartisan cluster of political establishmentarians to stand with him at a press conference in a show of force behind a particular piece of legislation, beware. And if the president begins by saying, "All of us agree," that's when all of us regular Americans should rush the barricade with our pitchforks and torches to defend democracy. Sure enough, President Obama recently put on such a show, trotting out a supporting cast of old cabinet officials, including the ignominious Henry Kissinger, all standing in support of Obama's odious Trans-Pacific Partnership. "One of the things that we all agree on," declared Obama, "is that if Congress rejects the TPP deal, China will make the rules of global trade, and those rules will not be to our advantage." But wait, who does "our" refer to? He's trying to hang his raw deal corporate trade scam around your and my necks by pretending to speak for America. Yet the great majority of Americans of every political stripe adamantly oppose the deal. After all, it was negotiated in secret with about 500 global corporate executives, creating new rules of global governance that are not at all to our advantage. Those self-serving corporate elites wrote rules that, big surprise, give them more advantages over us. More American jobs will be offshored. Our food safety protections will be compromised. Our medicines will cost more. We and the rest of the world will get more contamination of our environment. And even our sovereign authority to write the laws of our own land will be subverted by a system of private, secretive tribunals open only to global corporations. This is Jim Hightower saying, "Obama's Trans-Pacific Partnership is a rotten deal on the merits. It's made even stinkier by dragging out that infamous old liar, Henry Kissinger, to vouch for it."
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
This is FM 90.1, KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio. This is Love in the 21st Century. I'm Tana. And if you want to give us a call in, our number is 895-1114 if you have any questions for the Chico Housing Action Team, or maybe a story about compassion and your own personal experience of people that are living on the streets. If you are currently living on the streets or you know somebody, please give us a call. Let us know, 895-1114. So let's just dive back into the conversation that we were having in terms about, we can talk a little bit about Safe Space, and then also want to hear some more like personal experience about working in Safe Space and then experiences from interacting with people on the streets. So what have been some of the strides that that Safe Space has made, you know, in the 2 years that it's been going on? Like, where did it start and what is it now?
Well, as I said, we're just from recollection, there were four of us at the Peace Center talking about what can we do about homelessness in our community, and can we, you know, build some homes? How can we help people in the community? And shortly after, we had that cold spell, which led to a large group of people starting to come to the Peace Center and work on the idea of our safe space, our safe space.
So there were four people that started it.
Four.
And then
right.
How many people were actually, like, in the Peace Center?
At one point,
using
which is always when people get excited, at one point there may be 20, 25 people at a time time showing up at the Peace Center for meetings, but then people kind of drift and it becomes a core group of people who are continuing to work, and then people kind of move in and out of the different organizations, whether it be CHAT is the parent organization, the nonprofit, the 501c3, and underneath that there's two programs. One is safe space and one is housing. So we're looking at two different programs. It takes a lot of people to do that. We have a board of five. We'd like to have a larger board. Hopefully we'll have some board elections with more people being involved. So we're looking at growing and continuing to do what we're doing and doing it better. But it does take money and it does take energy. So anyone, again, I know I keep saying it, but if people are willing to donate money, it's really, really important for us to have that money. We have to have insurance. We have to have vehicles. We have to have food. All the things we have to have. Pet food, medication. We actually take people sometimes to the hospital. We have to assess them. They come in sick. When you're living on a street, so many times people have pneumonia. They have all kinds of illnesses. We bring them in. We discover that we can't help them. They need to be helped by the hospital. And many times they don't have the resources or the stability to take care of themselves and do the things that are necessary. So we help in so many different areas. This year, once a week, we're going to have a program where we're going to bring in services to teach people or help people to get on services if they're eligible for them. So we're looking at things for veterans or maybe mental illness or other problems that people have in life. We're going to try and bring resources to Safe Space once a week to help people get the services that they need and deserve to get out of homelessness.
Fantastic. So we do have a caller. And would you mind introducing yourself and let us know where you're calling from?
My name's Cassidy. I'm calling from Chico.
Awesome. Thanks, Cassidy. What made you want to give us a call tonight?
Well, I wanted to give you a call because I've been thinking about this a lot lately. I was homeless when I was, from the time I was 18 till I was almost 21, in Chico. I'm pretty much from here. I was raised here from the time I was 14, and I became one of the homeless people downtown. And there was very little services that were actually offered in the area of downtown, you know. And like you guys were just talking about, the resources, you know, when people are sick and not in their right minds, to get those resources and having them supplied to you is really important, you know. Now that I have a house, you know, I went through a lot of things to get myself housed. And you know, I'm 28 now, so it's been a long time since I was homeless. But just seeing people out there and knowing how it is, knowing how what mindset that we're in when we're there in survival mode, and I think it's a great thing you guys are doing. That you know, I'm happy that you guys are offering these types of services. It was a real struggle for me, and I really empathize with the people that are out there right now.
Thank you so much for giving us a call and sharing your experience. What was your experience with the people that you interacted with on the streets? Like the people that were also living on the street with you and then also the people that, you know, were just passing by?
Well, you know, with the people that were also, we were like family. A lot of us were like family to one another. We protected each other and looked out for each other. But then there were those people that some people that didn't, you know, they didn't really have care. So there are some people out there that aren't... they're homeless because, you know, they don't have anything else, you know, to offer themselves, you know. And I mean, I can't say that we're all in the same boat in that, but some people are really just out for themselves, and it can be really dangerous. You know, I had stuff stolen from me. But I also had people that were doing worse than me looking out for me. You know, like when I, in 2008, I got a staph infection in my leg from a dog bite. And a lady that, she's no longer alive. But she made me go to the hospital. She was in a wheelchair at that time, and she made me push her wheelchair, you know, walk, use her wheelchair as a way to walk, and walk to the hospital. She supported me in that. And then as far as the people that are passing by go, you know, some people would stop and talk with us back then. People were a lot more accepting of the homeless, and they would talk with us, and, you know, they would want our stories. And there's people like that out there now, I know, because I go and I do talk to the homeless still, and I do bring the can, which is usually food or blankets. You know, these are people, human beings that need help. They aren't just, you know, they aren't bumps on a log. That's not how it is. And I feel like that often a lot of people that are walking by feel like that about homeless people. So it's really just sad to see the lack of empathy in a lot of people because, you know, they never experienced it or they can't imagine someone they love experiencing it or experiencing it themselves. Like you were saying earlier, like, even if you're working and have a home, you know, you're still one step away from it. If you're, you know, living in a poverty level, if you lose your job, you could lose your home. You know, that's where I'm at. I work paycheck to paycheck. Over 50% of my income goes to my house and keeping the roof over my head. Over 80% of my home, you know? And I know that I have, you know, I'm at risk for it. I just think that a lot of people that, because they feel so good about where they're at, they don't realize how close they can be to it, you know?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Cassidy, for sharing your experience.
I think that was great, her sharing. There were two things that I heard that I think are really important. One is family. That's what we've seen on the street, family. People know all the people on the street. And there are transients out there. There are people who can create problems. But the tremendous number of the people, the vast majority of people in Chico are from the local area. And they are family. They actually take care of each other. We go out, I'll ask a question to someone I know that's on the street about someone else. Oh, they're over there, they're safe, or hey, they're sick. People on the street know what's happening to the rest of the people, and they do take care of each other. The other thing that is really interesting is that we do all need to stop on the street and talk to somebody that's homeless. You'll get a different story, you'll get a different understanding and perspective of what it's like to be homeless and who those people are. They're bright, intelligent, caring people. And if you take the time to talk to them and learn, hear their story, change your heart and mind as to why those people are out there and what we need to do to change that.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Cassidy. We hope to see you at the safe space.
When is that happening?
It starts December 29th. Can you give out some more details?
It starts on Sunday at 5:30. We'll start taking people in for our first night of safe space, and we're going through until the end of February. So all the way, hopefully through the worst of the cold weather. Of course, we don't have any idea what the weather is going to do this year, but hopefully we can provide shelter during the worst of it. So people can pre-register for Safe Space this year at the Jesus Center. So in the Resource Center at the Jesus Center. So that place where if you want to, you could pre-register. And hopefully we'll see you on Sunday.
Yeah, so that's this Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday.
Well, I'll come down, and I work from 4 to 10, but I can come down a little bit earlier and maybe get some information as to what I can do to help you guys out.
You can always, if you have energy, work late shift.
Okay, very true.
You can also go online if you have access to a computer, and you can go to the Safe Space I Volunteer website, and you can sign up for different shifts. And on that website, it tells you what all the needs are, from transporting people to hospitality, which is we give them coffee and a snack when they first come in, intake where we do paperwork, get people's names. We also store their belongings, and we need people to set up the shelters, to lay out the mats. We need people in the morning to pick the laundry up and to do the laundry. So there's a huge range of possibilities for you to volunteer, and all that will be on that iVolunteer website.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And we're
Thank
also
you.
Looking for a vehicle to store the gear. Some of the churches do really don't want the gear in size. We're looking for a vehicle where when people register, we bag their stuff, other than the stuff they're going to take into the shelter, which is mostly either the medication they're going to use that night and the clothes they have on, because we supply the rest. And we're looking for a vehicle like a Ford Explorer, some vehicle just big enough that we can store all that gear for the evening and give it back next morning to the people as we transport them back to the Jesus Center.
Okay, well, I'll keep my ears
out
on that. I'll definitely take a look on the website. Thank you guys so much for what you do.
Thank you. All right, so getting back into our conversation. If anybody else wants to give us a call and has something to share, 895-1114. I'll take one more call in here.
So, I would like to get back to the idea of the homeless community as family. I mean, one of the things that really struck me, and I think is what's been keeping me going, being involved in Safe Space, is how we became family to the people that we were, the guests that we were seeing, and they became family to us. I mean, I've maintained contact with many of the people that were our guests at Safe Space last year, continuing to help with their animals or one thing or another, but we all got very close, and we really began to care about each other and care, and it was a really worthwhile and kind of moving experience, and I think that's really part of the whole heart that this one young man mentioned, the idea that it's a community, a very loving community.
Absolutely. And I think that what's really important to consider is that being able to look into somebody else's life, the fact that these mm-hmm. people that are living in the streets, that are then sharing space in Safe Space, are sharing their lives and their experiences with the people that are working there, and also the people that are staying there, is a real privilege, because a lot of the time we're very private people. We don't like anybody to know anything about us, what we're doing, and so, or how we're doing, or, making ends and whatnot. And the idea that we allow people into our lives and or are forced to allow into our lives. They tell them what's going on with us. It's a privilege, and I think that we often forget that we don't really get access into people's lives just because they need something. And so it's really awesome and amazing the experiences that you're having, and also that you're maintaining those relationships, because that relationship in and of itself is a big thing tool.
Yeah, there's something that one of the guests said to me that's going to stick with me forever. He said, when I came to Safe Space, it was the first time since I've been home that I didn't think everyone hated me.
Oh, wow.
And that, like I said, is going to stick with me forever. How do you guys feel about that?
I want to jump on what Bob was saying. He's right. You know, people do know out there where someone else is, how they're doing. Like I said, I was on and off almost for the past 10 years, and I know just about everybody out there that just goes to the Jude Center. I still go down just mainly so I can see my friends, and I have a lot of love for a lot of people out there. I don't care what they're doing. I don't care. I do care, basically. I was going to say something else, but I don't care what they're doing, really, is the bottom line. I just care about them, and you know, I might not be able to do much for them financially or with food or whatever, what have you, but I know for me, when I was out there, it makes a big difference just to hear that someone cares, you know? And I didn't want to be that guy that was homeless with them, hanging out with them every day, and then all of a sudden I'm doing better and I disappear. You know, I don't want to be that guy anymore. I want to make sure that, you know, even if I'm not there every day, I see them and don't ignore them just because I'm not doing the same things they're doing right now. I still care. I have a lot of love for a lot of people out there, and I just want them to be safe. And this organization sounds like they care, you know,
And it sounds to me like you can sort of help them by being successful and saying, hey, you know, I was able to do this.
Right.
How can I help you?
Yeah. Right. And I do ask if they need anything, only because I know a lot of other people as well on the flip side, through church, through churches, and through some recovery organizations. You know, if somebody does need a blanket, if they're really cold, you know, then I can probably find them one if somebody else doesn't find them one first. You know, I'm concerned. You know, I care about them. I can say that everybody in this room does, and that's a really good feeling. It's like I'm verge of tears half the time in here.
Absolutely. It's not something you experience all the time, you know?
No, it's not. Especially when you're on the streets, like I said, it makes a big difference just to know that somebody cares. And they're not going to judge you for what you're doing or for how you're acting.
So we have somebody that just called in. You want to go ahead and announce yourself? Are you there? Yep. He was there. He was listening to the show, so it's a good show, guys. Very compelling.
So I wanted to jump in real quick. My experience is a little bit different from my friends here. I have never physically spent a day or night on the streets ever. I'm very grateful for that. I do live at the Sabbath House with my friend Janae. But a mixture of things brought me to that. Some physical illness problems and drug addiction, alcoholism, and a toxic relationship, which were all my choices. But when I came to being homeless, even though I'm a shelter, I'm homeless. And that's crazy to say, but it feels good to voice it because it's part of who I am and where I'm at today on my journey. I'm homeless. I created this family, this network of people that I've never had before. And I remember when my mom came to the flower car when I was working a few weeks ago, she was just kind of looking at me, and I was like, what's up, mom? And she had tears in her eyes, and she's like, I'm just so happy that you have another family, you know? You're okay. Like, mm-hmm. You're good. You have family. And it was just really cool. Like, she saw that I had these people that have become my family, you know? And there's that compassion. It's just, it's amazing. It just warms my heart in so many ways. Like, I'm hearing my friend speak tonight, and I'm almost speechless. I'm just sitting here like, wow. It's so awesome. I'm so grateful.
So, so very grateful.
All right, so I'm going to have to say a couple of things that, actually, that I'll still remember for the rest of my life. That some of the people that were out there, I mean, like I said, it was new for me to be out here. There was an occasion where a man and his dog, I'm horrible with names, I can't remember his name, but he shared his tent with me, him, his dog. All three of us slept in his tent because he's seen me sleeping out on the bench for a couple of days. I was in shorts and a tank top in the middle of winter time. And so he brought me in, he fed me. And another occasion was I was out at the park too, and cold. This guy came up to me and said, I've been in the same place and same position that you have been before. He put a blanket on me. And it was freezing cold, and I didn't know what to say to him. I just looked up at him and said, thank you. And, I mean, I did experience good things, and, I mean, I know it's really, really hard out there.
There are a lot of people that care. I mean, I know that when we go out sometimes to deliver stuff, give out blankets or sleeping bags or whatever, and somebody will say, I don't need it. But so-and-so down, you know, two places down or whatever, there's this network that is so amazing to me. You know, I can walk down the street. Sometimes I'll be driving down the street. Now somebody will wave at me. It's like I have family out there that are on the street. It's really amazing that I have this other family that I can go to and I can talk to and talk to me. It's really heartwarming to know that network is out there, and that always leads me back to it's our responsibility to change that. The people shouldn't be on the street. They shouldn't have to be on the street. They should be able to be housed. They should be able to be safe, men, women, children. And that is our job, to make people safe. And we need the city. We need the faith-based people. We need the whole community to work together, because, you know, the reality is Chad can't do it alone. We can open a shelter. We can work our butts off to make that happen. But we can't do it all ourselves. It has to come from this community as a whole. And that takes time to change the hearts and minds in a community to realize, rather than making ordinances to punish people, we need to make ordinances so that people have housing, get out of the streets, and be taken care of and reintegrate into society, as you guys are doing right now. You're becoming useful, helpful people in our community, and that's because you've been given a chance. And so our job is to give other people that chance to move out of homelessness.
I think people in our situation, I think it is our job. And heck, to those of you out there in this community that are doing the same things we are or have been homeless and aren't any longer, I think this call is to us in particular, because we've been there. We can be more compassionate, we can be more understanding, and we can help, we can understand, and we can also show that there is a way out, and they don't have to keep doing that. They just have to find a way out, and sometimes it just takes one little tiny step.
Absolutely.
And I also think it's important to recognize that there are people out there who are mentally ill, who, you know, there's a lot of discussion about choices and, oh, so-and-so made a bad choice. Well, you know, when you're mentally ill, it's hard to make any kind of choice. And there are many people out there. I've got several that I deal with regularly who have animals, and they're people that don't have anywhere else to go, and they don't know how to negotiate the world because they are mentally ill. And as a community, we have to do something for them. At the moment, there are very few resources. There are some people here in town that I've been trying to get help for that I just keep running into a brick wall, who are, you know, mentally ill, living on the street, no family, and all they have is a dog, you know, and we have to have resources for them.
And I think the statistic is 26% of the people on the street have some mental illness, and it's outrageous that we don't do more for them. But the other side of that is, I've been talking about people with mental illness and animals. I'm amazed at how people who don't know how to take care of themselves care about animals and take care of their animals over themselves, because it is their family. They've been disenfranchised from family, from society, but that animal represents somebody that they can love, somebody that loves them. And it's a beautiful sight, actually, to see. And Robin is amazing in what she does to help people with their animals. It's truly, honestly amazing to see.
Well, thank you, Bob. That's really nice. There is a really interesting book, and the title of it is My Dog Always Eats First, Homeless and Their Pets. And it's true. You know, the dogs, you know, you'll go out and you'll see some of the dogs are just really fat. And it's because the people are feeding them before they eat themselves. And of course, the dogs are eating all this people food, which makes them fat. And by and large, they really do take better care of their animals than they're even able to take care of themselves. And it's something that I feel very passionate about. Thank you.
Absolutely. So maybe in the last few minutes together, we can introduce people how they can kind of bridge that communication. What can somebody say to somebody, you know, they've never interacted with somebody living on the streets before? What's all of your words of wisdom of what they could actually say to sort of start that conversation?
You know, you can just say hello. I mean, and make eye contact. I don't understand the fear out there. I mean, homeless people have been so demonized that many people in the general public just are afraid for no reason. You know, they're just humans. And say hello. And, you know, how you doing? How about you guys? I mean, smile. Does that make sense? Yeah, smile.
That's
like you
say, a smile. A smile goes a long way.
Yeah. Don't look down. Look at the person. Body language is a big, important part. You know, the people turn to to the side, eyes down. Simply say hello and smile. I think it works every single time. Even somebody's mentally ill, just say hello. They can be actively mentally ill, and I find I can talk to them on a street because it's a matter of how you approach a person. If you approach them with love and understanding and not being overwhelming or fearful, you get a response.
It doesn't take much because we feel so separated from society when you're out there and feeling like you're judged and everybody's looking down at you and turning around when you're coming their way. Really, like everyone always already said, say hi. Just look at them. Look at me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Smile, it doesn't matter.
So Chico Helping Action Team online, you can find them. Their website is ChicoHousingActionTeam.org. You can find out more information about Safe Space and all the good work that they have going on. And, you know, I just want to say that I definitely know people that have had interactions with homeless have not always gone the most, you know, seeming perfect way. So don't give up. You know, there's lots of people out there in the world that need help, need support. And so if somebody, you know, for whatever reason, because they're drunk or because they're mentally ill and they're not able to interact with you, don't take it personally. You know, everybody is sometimes having a bad day. And living on the streets, you know, it's a little rougher than the average. So give people a chance and reach out to them and just acknowledge their presence. It goes a really long way. Definitely does for all of us. So ChicoHousingActionTeam.org. Allie, you want to intro this song?
We're going to go out with Bob Marley, One Love.